We'd like to welcome you to our cantata, Testimonies of Love. We gave it this past Friday night, and is there anybody who was here Friday night that's here this morning, if you raise your hand? I don't know about you, but I just got a tremendous blessing from the choirs they sang and all the special songs and the testimonies. So those of you who were not here are in for a wonderful treat. The Lord spoke in a mighty way Sunday night as we gave this, so I just wanted to let you know it's a blessing. And we're so excited about so many things that are in this cantata that we've never done before. First of all, Ann Stevens wrote all of the narration. And to say that it's anointed would just be putting it mildly. It just is it's a true inspiration from God, what she has written, as you will see as the characters will come to life for you. It's all about all the people who Jesus touched their lives as he walked on this earth. And some of these people you've heard of, and some of them maybe you're not so familiar with. But I think that God will reveal to you how wonderful these testimonies are. I believe that each one of us can see ourselves in the characters that are going to be portrayed tonight. So look for the one that pertains to you and see how you fit in that same story. There are a few thank yous that did not get into the bulletin. I always forget something, but I really wanted to give a special thank you to Hunter Hughes. He's running our equipment back there, so we've got words on the wall, so we kind of look like we've memorized a whole lot of stuff, but maybe we haven't. So he's done a wonderful job for us, and we just want to thank you, Hunter, so much. And then, as you can see, we've not got nice black folders. Well, Kay Moody put all that together. She spent a whole day working and putting our music together, because what we did was we compiled a bunch of songs that we had here already and put the narration with it and looked at each one and the people who were going to sing solos and put together this nice little collection for us. So thank you, Kay. You did an awesome job. And Anne, we just can't thank you enough. You're just, what you've done is an incredible thing. We thank you. Thank you, Anne. Appreciate you. And Jacob back there with the sound and audio visuals and all of the people that have helped put the scenery together, Diane and David Miller, and we just want to thank you so much. Everything that you see here is somebody who's pitched in and given their time and effort on the day off or afternoon or stayed late or worked at something. It wasn't me or the choir who did these things. It was individuals who had taken their time to do it. And I just want to say a special thank you. And as always, we just pray that God will speak to your heart as we sing Testimonies of Love.
With the same hands that saw.
I love you. Three words that today are the foundation upon most relationships being built. And those words that today help sell everything from candy hearts to diamond rings. Three words that today we tend to declare too casually sometimes. 2,000 years ago, there was nothing casual about the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. When he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he said, "I love you," to that generation and to every generation that followed. You and I are saved today as a result of his sacrificial love. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was only the beginning, for Jesus changed every life he touched, whether it be those who were closest to him, as you'll see here tonight, or those that he seemingly only met once, as you'll also see.
Let's talk about the beginning. Suppose you live near the Sea of Galilee and you wanted to buy some fresh fish. And every time you did, you had to talk to this loudmouth, bearded fisherman named Simon. Now, what if I told you that very same man would influence the entire world? That he would achieve rock star status and one day be the rock upon which the church was built? Would you believe me? How could it be that someone who denied his Lord and Savior on three different occasions, and he hid in fear while he was being crucified on the cross, how could he be chosen for such an honor? How could that man be me?
Peter, you were always the natural leader of the group, and the oldest of the 12, and I was always the youngest one. And everybody thinks you're spoiled because everybody knows when you're young, you're always the spoiled one. But maybe I did do some things that wasn't right, and my behavior wasn't good, and I act selfish sometimes trying to get special positions with Jesus. But how did he put up with the arrogance that I had in me? I don't know. But I do know this. Being loved is the most powerful motivation in the world. And I know it was his love that drove me to the cross that day rather than the recklessness of my youth. And when at the foot of the cross he said to me, "Son, behold thy mother," I was a changed man. Just as everyone who meets Jesus at the foot of the cross is changed.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds we are healed.
He was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our sin. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
Sacrifice and the life that
what you did. We are healed for you, paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I confess I'm a bossy workaholic, keeping my house clean, being sure meals are ready on time, making a good impression on my house guests, really important to me. That was pretty obvious the day that Jesus came to visit. I got really mad at my sister Mary because she wanted to do nothing but sit at his feet and listen. Can you imagine with all we had to do? I even told Jesus to tell her to get up and help me. He corrected me gently, but even after the correction, I couldn't stop myself from telling Jesus what to do. When my brother Lazarus died, I actually said to him, Lord, if you had gotten here when we'd sent for you, he wouldn't be dead now. And then when he actually, when he went to the tomb and he went to the grave, I tried to stop him from removing the stone at the entrance to the tomb because I knew it would smell horrible. Jesus looked at me and he said, did I not tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? I did believe. That wasn't the problem. I kept thinking that the only way to win the love of God was by my own efforts. What I had to learn was to grow in grace.
Thank you. I am an enigma, probably the most speculated about of any of the other of Jesus' followers. Did I have a family, or was I a woman alone? If I was a woman alone, was I above reproach, or was my character questionable? And so many Marys. How are you supposed to know exactly which Mary I am? What I can tell you is this. I'm from Magdala. Jesus drove 7 demons out of me. I was relatively wealthy. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John describe me as a respectable woman, regardless of what else you may have heard. I also walked with Jesus and watched him touch lives. I was also there the day that he died, the day that they sent my God to Calvary, the day he was crucified. That walk was agony. Seeing his battered body, watching him stumble, hearing the angry calls of the crowd, and when we actually got there, having to listen as they drove those nails into his hands and feet and watch those thorns dig into his flesh, knowing we were powerless to help. I still hear those sounds in my sleep. I was standing next to his mother that day, his mother, and wondered at the courage it must have taken to watch her child being tortured that way. And it would have been unbearable, except for the fact that Jesus' love was in every drop of blood that fell from that cross.
See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on a man would think it tragedy.
Savior bled and
it started blossoms.
As you've just seen, those that knew Jesus intimately, Peter and John, Martha and Mary, never ceased to be amazed at the miraculous changes that his mere presence brought to their lives. But Jesus didn't limit his love to those he knew best. Praise God, he meets us all where we are. Whether we're caught up in the busyness of our lives, every day, searching for answers to our despair or facing death, Jesus will change us too.
The day I met Jesus, I was a man in crisis. My position as a synagogue leader, my supervisory skills, and my close ties to the Pharisees no longer mattered. My daughter was dying, and I was willing to try anything to save her. So when Jesus passed through the crowd that day in Capernaum, I fell on my knees before him, and I begged him to lay his hands on her. It didn't matter that I might be shunned for speaking to him, but before I could even start for my home, messengers came to me and told me that it was too late. There was no point in Jesus making the trip now. My hope had died with the messenger's words, but Jesus said, "Trust me." I didn't understand, but I followed him to my house. He simply took my daughter up, shook her, and she was alive. The shock, the joy, it was miraculous. Unfortunately, much of the world doesn't trust God's word, but miracles only require enough faith to bow down and receive his blessings.
On our journey following the Lord, when God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move he makes. But when the path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to him. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven, and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't
The person with the worst reputation who has nothing.
And the person with the best reputation who has everything, both need Jesus all the time.
Authentic love seemed to escape me. Being a Samaritan, of course, I was despised by the Jews, though we worship the same God. I was also poor, but those were circumstances of birth. My main problem was not making the right decisions for my life. I guess I was constantly searching for real love and thought five husbands would help me find it. Well, they didn't. That noonday at the well began as another bad choice. No respectable woman appeared in a public place unaccompanied in the middle of the day, but I was thirsty, and he knew it. This Jewish man who acknowledged my presence, much less spoke to me. Jesus looked beneath the surface and directly into my heart because he knew the living water he offered was exactly what I had come to the well for that day.
I had everything as a ruler of the Sanhedrin: wealth, prestige, power, and a blind heart. Listening to Jesus speak and witnessing the miracles he performed, I knew in my head, that there was something special about him. I was a teacher, too, and his style and knowledge made me seek him out. But you know, being a Pharisee, I just couldn't meet him on the street corner in broad daylight and strike up a conversation with him. That would be what's called political suicide. So I made an appointment to see him at night because I really wanted to learn. I got a lot more than I expected. I got a challenge to be born again. I understood that Jesus wasn't satisfied with me knowing about him. He wanted me to truly know him. Jesus specializes in changing people that others consider unreachable.
Something beautiful.
Well, down through history, changing lives has been his business. He's changed the rich, and he's changed the poor. He's changed the high and the mighty, and he's changed the meek. He's changed my life, and maybe he's changed yours. But if he hasn't, it can happen for you right now. Yes, right now, this very minute, right where you are. And you know something? If you let him.
He'll make something beautiful of your life.
Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion.
talk about people, you talk about things that really aren't important at all. You talk about weather, you talk about problems that we have here at home and abroad. But friend, I'm excited about a solution for the world to know. Wanna shout and sing, Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Amen. Get all excited.
Taking of the Lord's Supper. This side, if you'll come over here, middle section, if you'll come to the middle, this side, if you'll come over here and partake.
Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Save my life, both physically and spiritually. I would have been executed that day if I hadn't have been for Jesus. And all because the Pharisees were trying to catch him in a trap. Adultery was punishable by stoning. That is, both parties involved were to be stoned. But my partner was left behind that day, which meant that I was the only one to be stoned. If Jesus would have told them not to stone me, he would have been arrested because he would be violating Jewish law. If he told them to stone me, then the Romans would have arrested him because even though the Jews could require the death penalty, they still could not carry out the actual execution. But Jesus knew their hearts and he knew mine. When he said, "You throw the first stones if you are sinless," they all disappeared. He didn't condemn me. He didn't condemn me. I left with my life that day, but most importantly, I left with my life changed.
It was almost too late when I turned to Jesus. If crucifixion hadn't been such a slow and agonizing death, then the outcome may have been different for me. You see, all the others, they walked with Jesus. They aided in his ministry. They met him in life. But I was on the cross next to him. I was dying with him. And even through the pain, I knew he was the promised Messiah. And I turned to him and I asked for forgiveness. And just like that, no more confusion, no more pain. So you see, it's never too late to turn to Jesus. It's never too late to seek God. Even in his own pain, he'll have mercy on all who believe. Now, granted, our lives may be much richer if we turn to him at an early age. But even those who repent at the very last second will surely be with him in paradise.
Praise the Lord. What a great God we have. Oh, how He loves us. That song is from a Christian's viewpoint, looking across at life after death and seeing the fact that there is no more darkness, no more death and dying, no more sorrow. Boy, being in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. I'm sure when I think about Easter, sometimes I picture a small child looking up toward heaven and saying, God, do you love me? And God stretching out His big arms and saying, I love you this much. So much that I'm willing to lay down myself on the cross and die for your sins. Folks, that's the way He loves us. John 3:16 says it so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, if you look in your heart and you don't see Jesus, you don't see an amen, there's not a hallelujah, there's not something excited in you about going to heaven, then listen today. What a glorious day it would be here on Easter to come and surrender your heart to Christ. To come and say, take me by the hand and say, Pastor Ron, today I want to ask Jesus to come and be Lord of my life. Isn't that glorious? Tell you, one of the songs that speaks to me every time we do this is that song, Bow the Knee. And every time Brian sings that, I want to go ahead and bow the knee. I just feel that need to bow it. You know, sometimes the course we're walking is real plain and we can see what God intends. And it's easy walking. Well, sometimes it's pretty dark. We can't see too far ahead. And we don't know what the future holds. And that's the time we're called to bow the knee. Listen, today may be one of those days for you. God may have allowed you to be at this service so you could come and kneel at this altar and say, God, I don't understand all that's going on, but I know You're God and I need Your help. And the good news is He's here to help you. Or it may be that today is the day you need to be saved. You need to give your heart to Christ. Well, we invite you to come. Maybe God's drawing you to be a part of this church. Listen, why don't you come today? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for what we've heard, what we've felt. Lord, we thank You for Your sweet Holy Spirit speaking to hearts. And Father, now as we come to a time of invitation, we ask that You would draw men and women to come. Lord, it may be just to come to pray, just to bow the knee before You and ask for help and grace. Lord, it may be that some do need to come and invite Christ into their life. Lord, it may be some here today that they're saved, but they've never made it public. And today's the day they ought to come and make it public that Jesus Christ lives in their heart and make that profession of faith and choose to follow the Lord Jesus in baptism. Father, You know what our needs are. We ask that You would speak. And Lord, that we would bring glory to Your name. Thank You for what You're going to do in this invitation. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand with me. Our pianist and organist is going to play an invitation. Every head remain bowed if you would. If God's spoken to your heart, you need to come. Maybe you just need to come and pray. I'm going to kneel here and pray. If God's spoken to your heart, you come today. Would you come? You come. Thank you.
Jesus, He's alive. Jesus, He's reigning forever. Jesus, no other king.
Let the children sing song of liberation. The God of our salvation, set us free. As we're in Thy's name, the curse of sin is broken. The empty tomb and open, come and see. He's alive, 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 hallelujah. Alive, praise and glory to the Lamb. He's alive, 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 hallelujah. Alive forever, amen. Let my heart sing out for Christ the one and only, so powerful and holy, rescue me. Alive, 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 hallelujah, alive, praise and glory to the Lamb. He's alive, alive, alive.
take up a Annie Armstrong Easter offering before we leave, and Miss Debbie is going to come up and talk to us for just a minute about that. So if you want them to be seated.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I think we'll be seated. And our goal this year for our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, this is for our missionaries here in North America, is $3,500. We've got a little start on it. We'll collect through April. And if you'd like your gift to be given in honor or memory of someone, if you'll complete one of the forms, we'll be glad to share it with you. And we have a light to be lit in honor of our children and grandchildren from Levi and Nancy Powell, and from Jim and Ellen Jubin in memory of Mary Taylor Green, Carl Taylor, Nelson and Edna Jubin, and in honor of Judy Hudson from Ronnie Hudson. And we have one in honor of our home missionaries from the Day Group. Another one in honor of, this is from Terry Petit, in honor of her children, Ronnie and Renee, Christy, her grandchildren, Courtney and Taylor, Kayla, Corby, Jacob, and Isaac. I believe I've got all those. This one is in honor of Sandra Beam's grandsons, Dustin and Grayson, and daughters, Stephanie and Michelle. Thank you, Sandra. And Stephanie Etheridge is given one in honor of her sons, Dustin and Grayson, and her parents, Stan and Sandra Beam. Another light for from Michelle McClure, and this is in honor of her parents, Stan and Sandra Beam, and her, I believe it's Nana. Where's Miss Lily? Is that right? Nana or Nona? Anyway, that's in honor of Miss Lily. We have another light lit in memory of Jerry Richards from Pete Richards. We have another light lit in honor of Allie South from her dad and mom, Turner and Kim South. We have one in honor of Kevin, Sam, and Hannah. That's the Clark family from K. Clark. And a light in honor of Beth and Matthew Smith, and this is from Barb Smith Carlson. And the last one today is in honor and memory of Pearl Wisnett, Sadie Hilton, and Todd Towery, and this is from Sonny and Karen. And so at this time, we're going to pray, and if you'd like to use